Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the spectacular Mr. Aaron Zommers. It is Thursday, July 6, 2023. Welcome in to a Thursday edition of the show. We appreciate you being here. Mr. Zommers, how's your day going?
Going pretty well. I had a very interesting day yesterday, as you well know.
Yes, it was.
Today is much more calm, subdued, and I'm okay with that.
All right. Yeah, me too. We're going to get into that in a minute. We went to lunch after the show, and we'll tell you about it in a moment. But first of all, I want to let you know, a big show today. Looking forward to it. At the bottom of this hour, 1:30 this afternoon, we have Kat Hadley, cool name, number one. She is with the Patriotic Millionaires. Sounds a little ominous in a way, doesn't it? Patriotic Millionaires, what's on their agenda? Well, they're coming to Wisconsin. In Southwest Wisconsin, one of our radio stations there, WRCO, WRCE in Richland Center, Patriotic Millionaires doing an event in Richland Center, only the second of its kind in the country. A lot of folks in Richland Center reached out to me and said, is this a scam? And the short answer is, no, it's not a scam. Because normally, when you know something's too good to be true, it usually is. In this case, it's not. We'll have Kat Hadley here of Patriotic Millionaires to explain this event in Richland Center, and how you can still attend if you'd like to participate in learning the money trail. How are decisions made on taxation and how it affects each and every one of us? How we can be empowered through education. And if you go to this meeting next Wednesday in Richland Center, you actually get paid $50 to go. And free bowling and free food. It's the real deal. 1:30, Kat Hadley, Patriotic Millionaires. In hour number two, our friend John Roach, Madison writer, filmmaker, and all-around cool dude, John Roach. Wisconsin has a love affair with the summer cabin. Now, not all of us have a summer cabin, but we like the idea, right, of the summer cabin. Go up north to the summer cabin. Well, we'll find John Roach, strangely enough, or not so strange, at his summer cabin. Up north in northern Wisconsin today, we will talk about love of writing in a cabin. It's kind of the long history of Wisconsinites' summer vacations in a cabin. And maybe get into a little bit of the summer blockbusters as well. The new Mission Impossible movie is out, and I watched a special on it last night on CBS. And the cool thing about it is they do a lot of these, like Tom Cruise. Wouldn't that be fantastic if Tom Hanks just became the new star of Mission Impossible?
That would be very interesting.
Tom Cruise does a lot of these stunts himself. And I like the fact that there are still movies being made where actors and or stunt doubles are doing real stunts. Real sets are being built rather than creating it through CGI and computer.
So I am of the mind that the best way to do it is a marriage of both.
Okay, I can accept that. And I'm sure, I know that there is a marriage of both of these in Mission Impossible as well. It's not all, I mean,
right.
What a quote, real.
You can.
Right. But yeah, I agree with you on that. But John Roach will be here at 2:30, of course, a filmmaker himself, and give us The Straight Story. That was one of his movies, actually, The Straight Story. So here's the deal. Mr. Zommers and I went to lunch, and we might have to pick this up after the break, but we went to lunch yesterday, and a fast food joint down the road here. And we were sitting there eating our tacos and burritos, and a young man in his 20s came out of the bathroom, and at first I caught a corner of my eye, and I'm like, maybe this guy happens to be disabled or whatever. He was kind of dragging one of his feet. And I didn't want to stare or anything, so whatever. And then he kind of stopped. I'm like, oh my gosh, is he having like an epileptic seizure or something? And then before I or anyone else could get to him, he just fell face first onto the concrete floor. And another gentleman and I jumped up and got some napkins bleeding on his forehead and got him into a chair. The folks at Chipotle, I'll just say it, called the ambulance, and the manager came out, and she was spectacular and kind of
handled that situation so well.
But here's the, and I shouldn't say clearly, but fairly clearly the guy had gone to the bathroom and done some sort of overdosing on something. His skin looked like he was a corpse.
Yes.
It was not good at all. And the thing that ticked me off the most, and Mr. Zomers, I think you'll agree, is there were a couple of white, young, either high school or college kids, I would say somewhere between 17 and 19,
yeah,
maybe 20 at the most. And what was their reaction? They were sitting 4 feet from him.
So at first they were asking him, they were saying it a bit bluntly. What they were asking was good questions. They're like, So, yo, dude, what are you on? Is it like Oxy or something? And I'm like, you could phrase that a little bit nicer. Like, they're trying to help, kind of, right. But they're also just poking at him. And then next thing, just like that, pulling out the phone, taking a video and commentating on it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. It's so
two
inappropriate.
Young dudes. I'll call them white privileged dudes, and I'll tell you why in a second. Pull out their cell phones to record this. I mean, it could be your brother, a cousin, a friend. I mean, someone has an addiction problem and is struggling and is in a life-threatening situation. And these two kids, their first reaction is to pull out their cell phones and record it. And I say they're white privileged because, and we'll talk about this more after the break, when they left, they went out and got into their BMW and drove away. Two skinny white dudes, high school kids, in their BMW, taking videos of someone having a life-threatening situation. That, my friends, is the definition of white privilege. Back after this, stay with us on the other side. This is the Todd Audible Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. May lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Audible Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 15 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Glad to have you along on a Thursday afternoon, July 6th. Our producer engineer, Mr. Aaron Zomer, is in this hour. We appreciate him as always. Going to take your phone calls in a minute on a little reaction to the state budget. But I want to finish up this incident, I'll call it, event, that Mr. Zomer and I witnessed yesterday during lunch after the show, in which a And just make sure that we're putting all of our cards on the table, because I mentioned the race of the other two kids. The guy who had the problem, obviously, I shouldn't say obviously, but a suspected overdose problem, happened to be white as well. So was we overheard him tell the paramedics he was 27. He looked younger, but maybe because his skin. I mean, it really scared me, Aaron. I mean, I thought the guy was close to death.
I mean, he was, I'm sure, because if you overdose on something like that and you don't get treatment. Yeah, that's likely what's going to happen.
Yeah.
He
did not look good.
Did not look very good.
So he was white. So it was all three of these people were white, just to be clear. But these two high school / maybe freshman and college kids, kind of, I don't know, I shouldn't say how they were dressed. I mean, like higher end athletic gear. And then they get in their BMW and drive away. And at one point, when the manager of the restaurant was holding this poor guy who had bloody head and bloody mouth from falling in the concrete and being very kind to the guy, she had his back. The manager, she had her back to these two young kids. And Aaron and I talked about, I regret not saying something at that point.
Me too.
And the reason I think that we didn't, you correct me if I'm wrong, is we didn't want, I mean, they appeared to be the kind of kids that would just get up in your grill and start saying, because I said, it used to be when I was growing up, when a 53-year-old guy told a 17, 18-year-old kid to knock something off. My example is always my industrial arts teacher from middle school, Jerry Sims, a former Navy guy. You know, all he had to do was give you the look and cross his arms. It used to be when an adult told a teenager to knock something off, you did it. You just give some respect.
And to a degree, I understand it not being like that, because no, you shouldn't just listen to everything anyone says without question, but you should at least consider it.
I think that's our age difference, because I'm still of the mind. I mean, unless somebody is telling you to do something illegal or just morally corrupt.
Right, exactly.
Or something.
So consider it.
But I think if an adult who is substantially older, especially when you're a kid, a teenager, and an adult says, hey, knock that off.
Oh, yeah,
There's a certain amount of respect you should be paying to your elders. I hate to call myself an elder, but in this case. And these kids, I mean, they were the kind of kids, the punky kids that would just get up at your grill and say, hey, dude, F you, you can't do you. And it's like, I didn't want to cause a bigger scene for this poor manager because I've been a manager of a restaurant. I've been a manager at retail, and I know all the legal stuff that person's going to have to fill out, have to check cameras, the EMT, let alone taking care of the poor person that was having the drug overdose.
That's exactly it. I thought I really just wanted to walk over there and be like, hey, man, that's not appropriate. You really should just...
Right.
But just... think about not doing that. But then I also thought, you know what? We don't know when the paramedics are going to arrive, and I don't want to be in the way, bare minimum. Also, like you said, seems like the kind of people who are going to fight it, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, I'll do what I want, and like get up in your face. And right. We didn't need to cause more problems.
I guess the bottom line is this. For me, and Aaron, you can weigh in on this. You know, situations like that, there by the grace of God go I, or one of my friends, or my family. None of us, as we know, none of us know what other people are struggling through every day. And addiction is much like any other disease. All right? It's something that people struggle with. It doesn't mean they're a bad person. It means they're struggling with something bad.
Right. It could have been their choice to end up the first time. And we don't know. It could not have been their choice either. It might have been forced upon them. But... ultimately, if they're addicted, it is no longer their choice. It is a disease.
Absolutely. So, I mean, show some kindness, for God's sake. Show some humility. Show some grace. Show some compassion if you fall upon a situation like that. Don't let the first reaction be to whip out your cell phone. It wasn't like the police were suddenly getting involved and someone was recording this for police brutality or whatever. The police were, I mean, they were there. It wasn't actually that fast. It seemed to take a while for them to get there.
It at least felt like it.
And these kids were filming this, just this poor guy struggling. I mean, he could have been dying. And the manager was showing him compassion and helping to stop his bleeding. On the phone lines, by the way, if you want to call in and or text in and weigh in on this, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. From Beverly Hills, we have a listener on the Civic Media app. And by the way, you can listen to us each and every show every day, as well as all the Civic Media programming by downloading the Civic Media app on your app store. Simply go to the search bar on your app store, type in Civic Media. It's free, takes less than a minute, and download it. From the WMDX Madison site, from Beverly Hills, California, I have someone listening in California, appreciate that, says, quote, I don't know if that's white privilege by definition. It's just straight up lacking humanity. That's fair. I guess I just say it because, you know, and I'm reading a little bit into it. I'll admit that. But they were just kind of the white douchey kids that get every... like, these are the type... Aaron, agree or disagree? These seemed like, keyword seemed, like the kind of guys where their biggest struggle in life to date in their 17 or 18 years on the planet was... Mom forgot to fill up the Beamer with gas?
That is the impression they gave, whether or not that's true. And we know to an extent that's true because they did have a Beamer.
They had a Beamer.
And they were talking about, I got to show this video to my mom or whatever, which I did hear them say that. That was so weird.
That was what one of the guys told, when the manager said she finally saw it and told him to knock it off. She wasn't taking any crap from anybody. God bless her. And the kid says to the manager, I got it. I'm showing it to my mom. I got to show this to my mom. I mean, people complain about, you know, parental, you know, raising kids, right? Who gives their kid a Beamer at 17, 18 years old and trains your kid? Yeah, take a video of someone perhaps dying and bring it home and show it to me. And we'll have a couple of yucks over that, over caviar, over in Blackhawk. I mean, who does that?
I don't know. And maybe it's not as bad. Maybe they, well, I don't
know. It was as bad as that. You're smiling. You know it was as bad as that. My point is, if you come upon someone who is struggling, don't judge. You have no idea what they're going through. Do what you can do to help. I should have done more yesterday. I should have spoken out.
And I will say, sometimes the best thing you can do, which is, this is more of what I did yesterday, is not get in the way. If you're there and other people are already helping,
Right.
Getting more bodies in there is not necessarily helpful.
Exactly. And we did hold the door open for the EMTs when they came and tried to do our little tiny part. But anyway, that was what was on my mind. I just thought it was worth sharing because sometimes life happens and whatever. I got a couple of minutes for this. And coming up at the bottom of the hour here after the break, Kat Hadley of Patriotic Millionaires, who is coming to Richland Center. We're going to talk to her in a minute, but or a couple of minutes here. Governor Tony Evers signed this budget with a bunch of vetoes, 50 some odd vetoes yesterday, line item vetoes. One of them was apparently he has vetoed out the $3.3 million for the transition for UW-Washington into a tech college system. This item that got in the budget via Dewey Strobel. And, you know, I've said this. I mean, look, God bless Washington County. I think they took the situation that happened at UW-Richland and they learned from it. It was the canary in the coal mine. And they were able to get Dewey Strobel to put money into this. And then it got vetoed. Howard Markley and Tony Kurtz voted for it from Southwest Wisconsin. They didn't put any money in for UW-Richland. And then apparently the governor vetoed this out yesterday. I mean, I don't know who is serving the governor on higher education issues because the governor doesn't read the entire budget. No governor does. Tommy Thompson, Jim Doyle, Scott Walker. They have policy directors, advisors that do this. I don't know who is advising the governor on higher education, but he is not being served well by that individual. I just don't get that at all. Let's go to the lines, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Let's go to Steve in Middleton. Steve, I appreciate you calling in. What say you?
I had a similar incident like this happened once where there was a person in trouble and they were being taken care of. And two young guys pulled out their phone and started recording that. Well, it's like you say, you don't want a confrontation, but I got up, I turned my phone on, and I started taking a video of them taking a video.
Yeah.
And they said, what are you doing, man? And I said, well, I'm taking a video of a couple of fools that are videotaping somebody that's in need. They said, well, what are you going to do that for, man? Well, I said, well, when you stop, I'll stop. Well, they put their phones away, and because at one point I was going to say, well, I want to see you erase that off of there. Or I'm just going to keep taking pictures of you. And they said, oh, leave us alone, man. That's fine. Just go. So I said, okay, but I don't want to see those phones out again until this guy's taken away.
That so is brilliant. Brilliant, Steve.
Again, we're not in this situation again, but something to keep in mind if it does happen.
I appreciate it, Steve. Thank you very much, Steve Middleton. It's so interesting Steve brings that up because on the way home, driving home last night, Mr. Zommers, I thought that's what I should have done. I'm like, I should have just pulled up my phone and started, you know, filming them. And then if they yelled at me, say, well, tune in tomorrow at 1 o'clock on WMDX radio in Madison and we'll talk about it. Oh, that was Steve. God bless you. That was great. We might get this later on because on this budget thing, and we're kind of running out of time now, but Senator Van Wongard, who is a state senator Republican from down by Racine, Kenosha area, he put out a statement on Governor Evers' vetoes yesterday, filled with an F-bomb and a GD, and it didn't stand for gal dang. Now, Republicans attacked, State Senator Johnson, Democrat from Milwaukee, when she dropped an F-bomb on the floor during the debate? Yeah. And some people called for a resignation. I wonder if those same Republicans are going to call for the resignation of State Senator Van Wongard. By the way, he's one of those guys, you always say his name together. You never call him Senator Wongard. It's always Van Wongard. Because it sounds Dutch, you understand? So like Van Wongard. It sounds like his entire last name. But his first name is Van, and his last name is Wongard. Here's the quote from Van Wongard on Governor Evers' budget. And I'm obviously cleaning it up for radio. Quote, with his veto message today, Governor Evers said, F the taxpayers, they don't know a GD thing about spending their own money, unquote. These vetoes aren't the work of a rational governor. They're the conscious decision of a radical governor. And he goes on from there. 30 years in politics, was a Republican up to 2011, worked for the Senate Majority Leader, state senator, United States congressman. Never seen Republican or Democrat, independent, never seen a sitting state senator or any Wisconsin elected official use the F word or GD in an official press release.
Right. That's the thing that I think differentiates this from Johnson, right, is that hers was a statement. Now, you can argue it should or should not have been used, but right, this isn't a press release, well, which just looks weird.
Weird. I'm old enough to remember Van Wongard when he had a secret meeting with WEAC, Morris Andrews, and John Stocks and Dale Schultz on overruling Scott Walker's Act 10. Have to talk about that sometime. Back after this. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin. It is Thursday, July 6, 2023. Time now 1:33 on the time and temperature sign. Glad to have you along with us. Mr. Aaron Zommer is our producer and engineer on the board. Had a call over the break from one of our regular listeners, Jack in Merrimack. Always appreciate Jack listening up. One of my favorite names to say, by the way, Jack in Merrimack. Jack called in on our topic there talking about Van Wongard, State Senator Van Wongard. All upset over Governor Tony Evers' vetoes, and in fact so upset that I work for politicians, right? They'll make a mistake now and again. We're all human, but sometimes you kind of walk things back. Rare, in 30 years in politics, never have I ever seen a politician put in an official press release an F-bomb and a GD, and again, it doesn't stand for gall darn. And so apparently he puts this in writing, puts it out, Senator Van Wongard, who ironically exposes Christian values. I've read the Bible, but I've never read cover to cover. I can't say I've read every word. I don't remember an F-bomb or a GD. But anyway, Jack in Merrimack said, you know, well, this is guys like Van Wongard never really had to be called on the carpet before because of gerrymandering, never really had to put up with a governor. Because when Van Wongard was in the Senate before he got beat the first time, before he got, you know, he had Scott Walker. And for a story for another day, we'll talk about how he actually worked behind the scenes to undermine Scott Walker's Act 10. But now he's being caught down. Now he has to, like, have somebody to deal with. It's not just all one rule, one party rule. So Jack and Merrimack, I appreciate that call. A great point there. It's hard to play with, you know, get along in the sandbox, right, and play with all your toys. Jack and Merrimack, we appreciate you calling. Welcome in the segment. It is 1:35. Great guest. Appreciate her being here all the way from Michigan via the magic of Zoom. It is Kat Hadley, and she is with the Patriotic Millionaires. Kat, good afternoon, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to be here. So we're going to get into this event in Richland Center, my hometown, back where I first started in radio at WRCO, WRCE. But first, a little bit about yourself. How did you, what's kind of been your process? Where'd you grow up? And how did you end up with Patriotic Millionaires?
Sure. I am a Michigan native. So right next door.
Sweet.
I grew up in Ann Arbor, Michigan. I was raised by two social workers and had kind of a interesting path to politics. I'm elected in Ann Arbor as a library board trustee now. Mm-hmm. I was actually a high school dropout, and for a long time I worked for minimum wage. Mm-hmm. So I was a barista and a waitress and the world's worst receptionist at a salon. hopefully no one ever went. I promise I'm much better at politics than I ever was at, any of that, but So I ended up going back to college later in life when I finally had some stability in my life and started to see kind of how policy impacted that earlier portion of my life. Ended up transferring from the community college to University of Michigan, where I got into a program that said, hey, you need to get an internship in D.C. and applied a bunch of places, but got a call back from Patriotic Millionaires. And I first saw the website and I just thought, I don't know about this, but, upon reading about it, it's like, oh, this is a group of high net worth people that want a livable minimum wage for folks. They want higher taxes on themselves and they want political equity for everyone. Mm. And then I did my internship for about a year, graduated, and they called me up and said, you know, hey, we want to do a grassroots program and we want to get, you know, we want to figure out how to bring our message to people. And that's kind of what became the Great Economy Project. So, yeah.
Great introduction. I appreciate that. We all have a journey, right? And yours is unique, like we all are. What was it that really, and I guess maybe you started to tell us, or you touched on what the patriotic millionaires are, but I guess, and correct me if I'm wrong, in layman's terms, it's a bunch of folks who have done well financially. I mean, this is beyond, because there are a lot of farmers in Wisconsin, right, who are worth $1.5 million, $2 million on paper. You know, farming is, or even more. Farming's not a but we're talking about people who are a multi, like the one percenters. And what is it that drew you to this organization? And at their essence, what is their mission?
Yeah. So for myself, I think it was seeing people kind of take responsibility. So you have somebody like, you know, the president of our board, Morris Pearl, used to run BlackRock. And so seeing somebody that had that power and that money and realizing like my influence can be used to make life better for everyone, I find that really compelling. And I think in its essence, what Patriotic Millionaires wants to do is just ask to pay their fair share, you know, and rebuild the economy to work for everyone and not just for the rich, because we see time and time again that these policies are made to support the 1% and not everyone else. And we've seen decades of that. And the impact of that is that everyone's struggling, you know, and so that is the hope, to kind of work towards that goal.
And I know this sounds foreign to a lot of people, because I'm 53. I grew up, you know, in the late 70s and 80s. And Ronald Reagan was the first person at 12 years old that I campaigned for. And of course, we heard trickle down economics, right? That if you make it easier for the wealthy, that they'll make more money and that will trickle down to everyone because they'll pay their workers more. Well, as it turns out, as Stuart Stevens said in his book, a former Republican like me himself, it was all a lie. You know, it doesn't work by and large. And again, we're not talking about people who have small businesses and might be worth several hundred thousand or even a couple of million. We're talking about the Jeff Bezoses of the world and you know, the ultra rich, and what they kind of just keep their money, right?
Yeah. I mean, and the thing about, yeah, I mean, I wish trickle-down economics worked. I don't think we'd be where we are if they did. And, you know, my family has a bust of Reagan in North Dakota, where sure, my dad's family's from. So, yeah, I think that I also want to point out that this is both sides of the aisle. We've had different people on either side, you know, Democrats and Republicans in elected office, and this problem has continued to grow. So this isn't one or the other. In fact, we work very purposely with everyone that we can who's willing to talk about this issue. But yeah, trickle-down economics has not worked for everyone. And I think that it's not going to get better unless we make some serious policy moves and decisions. And that's what we want to do, is kind of work to build a movement to demand that fair economy for every American.
You made a great point. I want to just hammer it home for people that are listening. I got a chance to meet Erica Payne, the founder and president. I'm going through her book right now called Tax the Rich, How Lies, Loopholes, and Lobbyists Make the Rich Even Richer. I have it right here. Great read so far. And she's going to be here in Richland Center in Wisconsin for this event. But she makes the point too. Whatever your issue is, whether you're pro-life or pro-choice, whether you happen to be avid for equal rights, for marriage equality, or whether for religious reasons you're opposed to it, go right down. They don't care. Patriotic millionaires don't want to get into that. This is not a let's come and gripe session and yell back and forth. They are narrowly focused in on taxation and how it affects each one of us, correct?
Yep. We want to talk about money, 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 money. That's all we want to talk about. Because, you know, our theory in a way is that everything else is a distraction, you know, like we can focus on culture war stuff, but the side effect of that is that they're also passing bills that make the rich richer and make everyone else a little bit poorer. And that struggle continues to climb. And so we want to talk to you about money, and that's about it. But that's a really important and robust subject. So, yeah.
It's a super important subject. So you're part of this team that you've done this once in North Carolina. Richland Center is kind of the second pilot project, or Wisconsin is. And you looked around. How did you end up choosing Richland Center?
So there were a few reasons. You know, we try to do this in populations that are a little bit smaller. Like the idea is that it's kind of word of mouth. So if one person knows it, 20 people know it. And then also we're looking for places that have, you know, like something like we're doing this at the Phoenix Center. You know, there's like a central place where people can gather. There's good walkability if people want to knock doors, things like that. But we drove around Wisconsin and looked at a few spots, and we just really decided that Richland Center was it. It just hit the metrics for us. So we're really excited to be here.
So it's next Wednesday in Richland Center. For those in the statewide audience who might not know, it's a town of 5,000 people. Happens to be my hometown in southwest Wisconsin, kind of halfway between Madison and La Crosse and Highway 14. It is next Wednesday, July 12th at 5:30. What is, a lot of people have said, Todd, is this a scam? It sounds like Amway to me. I can tell people it's not a scam. Tell people exactly what it is that you hope are going to accomplish next Wednesday if people sign up and come.
Sure. Yeah. And if you want to sign up, you can email cat@patrioticmillionaires.org and I can get you all registered. And, you know, we're happy if people just show up day of as well. Mm-hmm. We love to know ahead of time so we can keep a head count. But our hope with this is what we're going to do is we're going to give you a free dinner, some rounds of bowling if you'd like it, bring friends. You're going to learn basically our opinion on the economy, and then you can apply to be in a program. And then once you're in the program, you're paid to just learn more about the economy and how we view it. And what we do is we bring out different experts. So we're going to have Chuck Collins from the Institute for Policy Studies come talk about philanthropy. We're going to have Sarah Anderson, also from the Institute of Policy Studies, talk about CEO pay. Caitlin Henderson from Oxfam comes out. We do a screening of one of our members, Abigail Disney's film, The American Dream and Other Fairy Tales, that she made after getting phone calls from workers in Disney that were being not paid very well. So there's a really wide variety of programming talking about these different things. So our hope for Wednesday is that you come meet us, you get interested in this program, and then we see you again in 2 weeks for the next meeting.
And when people come to these programs, they are not going to be in any way, shape, or form asked for any sort of money. There's no investment. In fact, Kat, it's the opposite, correct?
Yes. Yeah. So if you're accepted in the program, so after the meet and greet, if you're accepted in the program, you get paid $50 just to be there and listen to us talk about economics. And all we ask is just for your honest opinion on things. We are not trying to sell you anything. I don't have a way to make you a millionaire. I don't have a way to make me a millionaire either, for the record. Working on it, but not there yet. So we're not trying to be Amway. We're not trying to sell you anything. We just really want to talk to people about the economy and see if we can work together to fix it and make it better.
I think this is great. And again, make sure, because there's a lot of people in the Richland County area who have reached out to me, and I want to be clear, you are not asked for money. This, and to your point, Kat, this is not about, hey, come and find out how you could be a millionaire too. Not that at all. It is rich folks who have said, you know what, it's going to sound weird, but we actually believe in patriotism in America and in democracy, and we don't think that we've been taxed enough. We've done very well. We think we should pay more of our fair share, and we want to tell you why that is and how you can make a difference in your community. We'll pay you $50 to come. Think of it more like a medical study, like you see on TV. If you give us 3 weeks of your time, you can earn such and such. Only this, you don't have to be poked, prodded, or take any medication. You just have to listen, right?
Yep, exactly.
All right, very good. So that this is coming up next Wednesday, and if people want to get involved, it's cat@patrioticmillionaires.org. Important for people to remember.
Otherwise, one quick question that I haven't heard mentioned yet. So if somebody wants to show up, or they don't know about it, a friend tells them about it, and it's the day before, so they can't pre-register, where in Richland Center are they going?
Oh, the Phoenix Center. So 300 South Orange Street. So right at the bowling alley. And that's totally fine. You know, I talked to somebody on the phone today that said, well, I didn't get a direct invite in the mail. That's okay. You know, we did a big mailing service. So you probably saw some flyers, but it's no big deal. We're just trying to get the word out as much as possible. And it's tricky when you're not on the ground as quickly as we can be. So,
I know when Erica was out here in Richland Center doing the scouting trip, She sat down with my former boss, State Senator Dale Schultz, who lives in Richland Center. Dale and his wife, Rachel, the former school administrator, they're going to be there. They know it's, you know, certainly not. Dale would not be involved in anything that's a scam. So he's just going to be there just to say, hey, you know what? I've heard of this organization. I think everybody should listen. My colleague, Phil Nee at WRCO Radio, WRCE, WRCO, Richland Center, he's going to be the moderator for the evening. So Phil Nee is going to be there. That's a name familiar with people in Southwest Wisconsin. And I think it's just a great educational opportunity, Kat, because I've heard a little bit about this. I'm looking forward to the evening. But once you start hearing the facts, it just kind of blows your mind.
Well, really, what we're trying to do is give people data for their lived experience. Like, that was my deal in college, is realizing, you know, like, there were systems in place that made this squeeze happen, you know, because I'm a child of the 80s. So I've felt that squeeze and seen my friends struggle to, like, you know, own a home or have children. And these are real problems, and they're only going to get worse if we don't work on them.
Going to come back. One second. Back on the other side of the break, we have Kat Hadley, Patriotic Millionaires. More with her after this on the Todd Allbowl Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allbowl Show on the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin. It is 1:50 on a Thursday, July 6th. Happy to have you along with us, and happy to have our guest this hour, Kat Hadley. She is with the Patriotic Millionaires, great group of essentially rich folks with a conscience. My words, not hers, but I mean, it's like, you know, hey, we did well, and we want to give back. And this is something that's been happening, and now I'm going to go a little bit local for my hometown folks that might be listening. We have had people like this in maybe a slightly different level, but still done it in Richland Center, Richland County. A guy by the name of Dr. Keith Brewer, a guy who was a scientist, grew up in Richland Center, and was noted for a lot of his cancer research, worked in D.C. for years, did very well, and gave a substantial amount of money to build the public library in Richland Center that still stands. Another guy, John Simons, and his late wife, well, they're both gone now, but Dorothy Simons, and Edie Simon, he had two wives. The first one passed away, John and Edie, and then Dorothy Simons. They have a very wealthy, and they helped build the Simons Rec Complex, which is the natatorium in Richland Center, on the campus of Richland Center, which still stands. So these are the type of folks I'm talking about for the Richland Center listeners, people who did well, but have a conscience and just want to give back. And Kat, that's what the Patriotic Millionaires are, correct me if I'm wrong, at probably just a larger scale.
Yeah, absolutely. So it goes beyond just giving back, right? Because I think absolutely, like, giving back is essential and important, but the thing is, if we can make policy change, that those are going to be, it's everyone doing it, not just the few. You know, oftentimes we run into the argument of, well, if you want to pay more taxes, just send the check in. Yeah. And what we try to explain to people is, like, you know, I mean, we could do that once or twice, but if we made the policy change, there's something that there's an investment in there, and then there's consistent change, because the one-off change is just not enough. You know, we've tried that. And if philanthropy was working well, I don't think, not that it's all bad, but, you know, I think we've tried that system now for a while and seen that policy is the thing that we need to invest in and change.
What you're, as I understand it, what you're looking at or looking for is systemic change in the way that our laws are written to tax.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Patriotic Millionaires has been around for over 12 years now working at this. And so what that looks like is getting all of our members, I think there's about 200, maybe a little bit more, but getting members to write to Congress, or, you know, we have a lobby week where we have our members show up in DC and talk to different representatives that will meet with us about these policies. They've been working at it for 10 years. So over 10 years now, and sadly, it's not been enough for that. So, you know, one idea was, okay, well, if we can get both the working class to work on this and the super rich and come together on this issue, then maybe then we can really force that change to happen.
And under the auspices of transparency, because that's the kind of organization we are here at Civic Media, because I've also gotten a couple of people ask me, well, is my boss, is our boss, the owner of Civic Media, Sage Weil, quote unquote, is he behind this? I said, well, Sage is not behind this. He, in auspices of transparency, he is a member of the Patriotic Millionaires. And it was kind of on his recommendation to, hey, come out and check out Wisconsin. And so, yes, he's you know, and certainly that's how I found out about it. I would have you on the show, whether my boss was involved or not, but I want to be clear to people that he is involved that way.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a great member and really cares about this. But yeah, he's made some great connections for us, which we're really grateful for. But yeah, this program kind of is its own little entity that exists, not with a lot of direct influence.
I'm just curious, like, is there like a, what do you have to apply to be a Patriotic Millionaire? And is there like a maximum or minimum income amount? Like, you know, you're not quite a big enough millionaire to be our club. You know what? How do you take membership?
Right. Okay. So yeah, we absolutely do have an application process. I believe that you have to be either like actively making, not including your assets, over $1 million a year. Mm-hmm. And then there's another caveat where if you own over a certain threshold, you can also be a member, but that is pretty high.
I'm looking at the website, and that threshold is $5 million worth of assets.
Oh, very nice. Okay.
And we do have a few members. You have somebody like Chuck Collins who gave away all of his fortune. He's still an honorary member.
Okay.
But Chuck Collins was the heir to the Oscar Mayer fortune, and he'll be joining us as well. Has a lot of Wisconsin roots there.
Yes, very controversial, though, because Oscar Mayer left Madison. That's very.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Well, as someone in Michigan, I feel the pain of things leaving. Trust me.
Right. that's super interesting, though, that there is app. Not just everybody can do this, but I think it's great that it's a diverse group of folks from all over the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have members all over, and we're going to have members at each meeting. So there are different people will be coming out. Some people are either from Wisconsin or they have roots in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So it's really fun to kind of bring them out and get them to see, you know, what's going on and talk to people. We ran a program in Whiteville, North Carolina, and had a bunch of different members out. And it's always, you know, it's a blast. And it's really fun to see people go from, I know this is an issue, I know it's a problem, but maybe it's not my issue. Because it's really easy to look at these systems and say, well, taxing the rich sounds good, but that doesn't really affect me. Mm-hmm. And once you realize how much it affects you, you know, that's kind of the wheels start turning on how can we fix this problem.
But a minute and a half left, it always goes too fast. Kat Hadley from Patriotic Millionaires. What's the hope at the end of these sessions? What do you hope to impact on the local community in Richland Center in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so, you know, what we hope is that you get a robust education on economics, but then, you know, we have a point where we just say, do you want to do anything about these issues? So we have at the last meeting, you can join an advocacy program if you're so moved to do so. And, you know, I can say in North Carolina, that's looked like talking to people in our community about these issues. It's looked like going up to the state capitol and saying these systems need to change and here's how we see it. And we give people lots of training so they can feel empowered, you know, because I tell people all the time, I'm like, as somebody from Michigan, your state rep doesn't care what I have to say about this, but they do care about what you have to say about this. So, you know, really for me, the hope of this is to give people their voice back and to have people realize that their voice in politics really does matter on these issues and a ton of other issues. But this is the one we'll focus on for now.
So the event is this coming Wednesday, July 12th at the Phoenix Center, the Bowling Alley in Richland Center. Doors open at 5, dinner at 5:30. It is all free. There is no donation. There is no ask for money at all. It's all. In fact, you'll be paid $50 if you are selected to join the ongoing meetings moving forward. You can sign up by going to CAT at patrioticmillionaires.org or calling 734-664-7344. Kat, really appreciate you being with us today.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for having me, and I'm excited to see everyone soon.
Well, I can't wait to see you in Richland Center. You know, any chance to get back to my hometown, that's going to be a lot of fun. And I think learn a lot. That's the biggest thing here, right? It's educate. You're getting paid to go to school, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Kat, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. We'll see you at Richland Center next week. If you have questions, give us a call. We'll talk about it next hour. Stay with us now after the news. We'll be back. 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Back after this on the Todd Allbolt Show and the Civic Media Radio Network.